Good morning, Wild Dahlia Wellness listeners. Today I'm going to be sharing an interview with you that I was able to do with Lydia Violet. She has been inspired by folk, blues, and protest music and has been a lifelong musician. She has studied philosophy, cosmology, and consciousness and has really worked to explore some of our history and how things have happened and just the threads that have gotten us to the planetary crisis that we're currently in. She has studied with Buddhist scholar Joanna Macy, exploring how we can transform some of that pain into resilience and action. And also, she is the founder of the Music as Medicine Project, a nonprofit organization that works with music, keeping people engaged and inspired in the times that we are living in. So I'm really grateful that I was able to spend this time with Lydia. She is doing really amazing work in our world, and I hope you enjoy the interview.
Well, thank you for joining us today, Lydia.
My pleasure.
We are going to just dive right in, and maybe you can introduce yourself and tell listeners where you're coming from and what work you're doing, just to start.
Yeah. Let's see. I was born in the States to Persian parents who grew up in Iran, and I have always been very thirsty for knowledge about what's happening in the world, and also had this impulse to rebel against things that didn't make sense to me, and so I was always questioning things a lot, and I was really lucky to have a father who was very understanding of that and would question things with me. So I had that growing up, which was really special. And I live in Berkeley now, and I have my music project, which I've been doing for a few years. And then I've been studying with Joanna Macy for 10 years, and a few years ago I've been facilitating her work for 8 years, but just this year, really founded and started running my own organization around it. So, you know, I'm living in Berkeley and trying to contribute my part in helping to keep us strong and acknowledged and truthful in the time that we're living in right now, which can be quite intense.
Mm-hmm.
And I love music. I love studying folk traditions and roots traditions from all over the world and understanding the ways that music has helped us keep going as well.
Yeah. So did you grow up in a musical household, or how did you weave that into your purpose, I guess, of what you wanted to offer?
Yeah, people always ask me if my parents were musicians, and they weren't musicians in the way of playing instruments, but they were definitely musicians, like, in their souls.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was always playing records, lots of classical music. He took me to an instrument shop when I was 3 and let me pick one, and I picked the violin. And so I started playing that at a very young age, and my parents were always very keen on us playing music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I feel like my dad was always singing through the records he was playing.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of conflict in our household as well, between my parents, and I think I took solace in the music programs that I had that I was lucky to have available to me through my school, both during the school day and after the school day.
Yeah. Will you say a little bit more about Joanna Macy to listeners who might not know? From what I know, she's a Buddhist scholar and an elder, but maybe you could kind of introduce her a little bit. And how did you come to have a relationship with her and her work?
Yeah, so Joanna also lives in Berkeley, and she's 89, so she is in deep elderhood. And she is a Buddhist scholar and a deep ecology scholar, and those can sound like really kind of abstract words. I mean, what I experience of Joanna is that she has a gift for helping to facilitate an honest conversation about what is happening in our communities and in the world. and is able to honor the dignity of a breaking heart that feels compassion for all beings and follows that compassion to re-enter our place within the web of life as a more connected being who does deeply care about what happens on this planet in our lifetime, and that can take vulnerability and turn it into a very strengthening experience. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, these different streams that she's a scholar of, like deep ecology, systems theory, Tibetan Buddhism, that they've deeply influenced her ability to facilitate that work. Mm-hmm. I think that she's known a lot for emerging and saying that our despair about what might be happening in the world or what is happening in the world is totally valid and understandable, and that we tend to shut it off in our culture that values our productivity. Mm-hmm. When that despair is very much an exhibit of our humanity, which we need to see right now. And so rather than cutting it off, learning how to be with it, you know, learning that, like, we have muscles in our internal landscape, in our community landscape, that can help us metabolize these things that we feel. Mm-hmm. And that when we do that, we can actually come into a deeper sense of strength and connection and kind of rootedness as we traverse the landscape of what's happening right now in the world. Yeah.
And we kind of briefly, when we were first connecting, mentioned that community resilience piece, which seems to be definitely a pillar of what her message is. And would you say a little bit more about the work that reconnects?
The work that reconnects is basically a body of group work that mm-hmm. Joanna developed over 40 years of traveling to different communities, whether it was the Sarvodaya movement in Sri Lanka, or she spent a good chunk of her life helping Tibetans who were fleeing the Chinese army relocate in the north of India. She spent time with communities that are going through very intense types of oppression or persecution. And through listening and working with people in those communities, you know, she'll never say she developed the work that reconnects. Sure. She'll say it was developed with these communities over time. But it's basically a combination of teachings and group work exercises and some stories and a meditation here and there mm-hmm. that we can do together as a group that seems to be like an acupuncture needle mm-hmm. for helping relieve some of the pressures and pains of being with the crisis of what's happening in our world right now. Mm-hmm. So I facilitate it as classically as workshops, in varying lengths, group work.
Great. And some of that foundation, as far as the Music is Medicine project goes, let's talk a little bit about that, how the conception of that organization came into being.
Yeah, I mean, like most good things, it was kind of a happy accident. Mm-hmm. So I had already been facilitating the work that reconnects for a few years, and I was in Costa Rica, and through a series of interesting happenings, I befriended Penny Livingston, who's an amazing permaculture teacher, kind of a herbalist, regenerative design, just plant witch. Mm-hmm. And teacher, and then we ended up meeting Leah Song from Rising Appalachia in this tiny, tiny town on the southwest corner of Costa Rica. And I was sitting with the two of them. We were eating like a late night dinner, and I got the vision of putting on a retreat That was Joanna's work, Explorations of Music, and music that maybe the ways that music could be medicinal for us in our time, both in making it and just experiencing it, and having Penny facilitate connection to the land. Mm-hmm. She used to live on this amazing permaculture garden. And I kind of spoke the vision right there to them. And 4 months later, we did the first Music as Medicine workshop. It was mm-hmm. a 2.5-day retreat. Fun. And that was exactly what we did. We did, you know, these teachings and exercises that were born from Joanna's work in communities. And Rising Appalachia led some voice work and song work and song leading with the group. And Penny did meditations on the land. And then at the end of all of it, Rising Appalachia played a concert. And it's interesting because the concert has become a fundamental part of the program, which mm-hmm. I think is a bit unique as far as workshops go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one of the pluses of that is that you do all this work together, and then you're in a pretty deep place thinking about what's happening in the world and your relationship to it, and you get to experience this concert as an integration space. And I think after doing the work, we're more open to the medicinal qualities that the music can have.
Yeah.
And it's just been amazing to see what happens when you combine those things.
Yeah, it's pretty great body work, I think, to both, like you're saying, yeah, to both produce it and just sit back and take it in, right?
Yeah, because we need sanctuaries right now. Our bodies, our nervous system, our hearts, our minds. I mean, what we're facing on a daily basis and what some people have been facing for a very long time, which I think is important to say, and then more and more of us are experiencing it on a daily basis. I mean, it breaks your sense of morality.
Yeah.
And your sense of, do people actually care about each other in the world?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a chance as a species to make it through what we're going through?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think what's become really clear to me from studying with Joanna is that my hopefulness cannot rest right now on certainty of outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Because how can we have certainty? She always says to me, don't trust anyone who tells you we're not going to make it out of this as a species, and don't trust anyone who tells you we will.
Yeah.
We're just kind of at this leverage point of uncertainty. And so, you know, just like when somebody gets pregnant, like they don't have certainty that it's going to be a healthy pregnancy. And so we feed the situation as much health and love and grace as we can, not because we know that that is going to give us, I mean, we know it will, it can influence the scales in a certain way, but it's not because we know for sure that it's going to work out. It's because independent of outcome, there's something that we're here to give to the world.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that analogy because I can just see it and I can feel the kindness and the patience and the now in it, right?
Yeah, like we all have a legacy that we want to leave, but we can be paralyzed in that. Understandably so. It's so understandable to be overwhelmed with what's happening right now.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of compassion for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of the reason why I do the work that I do is because I'm trying to help. I found tools that help liberate some of that paralysis and panic. And so I want to create spaces where they can be shared and where, you know, we can find, okay, what do I want to do? What do I want to do anyway? What do I want to give to the world? what are my special gifts that when I'm less paralyzed, I'm more able to offer and listen and hear what the world around me desires of me.
So how has your journey been with, so do you continue to offer those workshops out of the Bay Area, or is it something, are you on more of a tour, or are you pretty much put where you are doing your work?
I mean, because I'm a touring musician, I actually do the majority of the workshops outside of the Bay.
Okay.
I actually have one coming up in Oakland, which is like, okay, Oakland, you've been asking for a while, and here it is, I'm home, let's do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a variety of ways that it's structured. Sometimes when I tour, I'll do like a 2 to 3 hour mini workshop before my shows.
Nice.
And so I'll get to do a bunch of them in a week. Sometimes people want to do a full weekend, so I'll travel somewhere and do a full weekend.
Nice.
It's really adaptable to what the community is desiring.
Sure, yeah. Have you?
I did a 4-day retreat this summer that was 4 full days with Mom Hughes at a retreat center in Mendocino. And part of the reason why I started the organization is we were able to make the retreat. No one turned away for lack of funds, which I think is one of my goals. I don't want to be part of elitist workshop culture. I think that there is a big problem with people not having access to really good healing spaces because they're oftentimes really expensive. And I know that people have to support themselves. And I think it's a tension that we live in capitalism. And so I'm trying to design from the beginning a way of being able to do the work that is accessible because I just don't want to run inaccessible workshops. I'm not interested in that.
Sure. Have you made your way up to Oregon for any, I'm just curious, since that's where we're, you know, tuning in from. Have you done any work up here?
Did I do one? I've done a lot in Washington.
Yeah.
I don't think I've actually done one in Oregon yet.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe a side conversation. There was a sweet Singing Heart Choir is a community song group here in Eugene, Oregon. I'm saying this correctly, kind of a branch of the Singing Alive community here.
Is that the one Carly runs?
It is. Carly Loveling. Yeah.
I just met her 2 weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah. She's amazing. And she has this, this foundation, like what you're talking about. She doesn't turn anyone away. I mean, how can you, right? When you're sharing song, right? But yeah,
I mean, it means you're more dependent upon donations.
Sure.
Which, you know, and you have to fundraise and do all that stuff. But, you know,
yeah,
I mean, if you can make it work, it's so worth it.
Yeah. And sometimes we will see. Yeah, we were able to see Mom Hughes here at Unity of the Valley, a space here in Eugene. And so I got to experience them last spring, and they were just so wonderful. And there was just that, you know, that collective energy in the crowd, and it just felt so great, and what their message, and yeah, just what they embody. So hopefully maybe you can travel north sometime soon and share your work with some of us here.
Yeah. I mean, some of what Leah and Chloe from Rising Appalachia have taught me is to go where you're invited, because there's energy there to support you. So I follow that, and I very much, you know, I also, when I plan a tour, I'm seeking out venues and where to play. But if I'm invited somewhere, I find a way to make it work to be able to go there. So I would love that.
Yeah, nice. I know I'm switching it up a little bit, but I wanted to ask you about, I saw it online when I was just reading a little bit more about you and the Singing Over the Bones workshop. I feel like it's fitting for today. Yeah. So will you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I'm so excited about it because it's a new program, and it actually starts today on Halloween.
Nice.
It starts this afternoon. And, you know, like I said, I'm Persian. I'm both Persian and Armenian. And I, you know, grew up in the States with some distance, some closeness, but a lot of distance from my heritage for different reasons. You know, Armenia has a history of genocide, and part of that is erasing a lot of information about people, so it's hard to get information. I think being Middle Eastern was something that my parents partly were protecting me from in the States. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we had some connection, but definitely not an immersion. And so I started learning Persian music about a year and a half ago as a way of connecting to my ancestry. And, you know, I have a master's in philosophy and religion. And so I studied some about cosmology, which is the stories that cultures create around who they are and where they are, and, you know, what things are made up of, and the gods and goddesses. And I realized that there was a program I really wanted to start, which is now Singing Over the Bones, which that phrase came to me a long time ago, but then I reread Women Who Run with Wolves, and there was a whole chapter in there on Singing Over the Bones. Mm-hmm. And so it just kind of reaffirmed some things. But it's basically, in its first iteration, it's a 4-week class helping people to connect and research their ancestries through myth, studying the myths and mythologies there, and through song.
Wow.
And so we're gonna try and uncover, you know, take one of your ancestries and what were the drums that they used? What was the flute and the air instruments that they used? Did they have string instruments? And then, can you learn? What was the language? What were the kinds of sounds in the language? Mm-hmm. What was the relationship between the language and the land?
Mm.
And then, you know, I basically support in learning, by the end of the class, at least one song from one of your ancestries. That feels so important right now for so many different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, even if you just take the example of, like, being white in America, for so many people, if you ask them what their ancestry is, they say, oh, well, I'm a European mutt, or, you know, I can't tell you how many times I hear people say, I don't have culture.
Hmm.
And so I want so much for everybody, whether you have been disconnected by choice or by force, to be able to find some rooting in knowing the stories and the songs from your lineage. Mm-hmm. It feels really important to me right now.
Yeah. Is it still available for people who might be interested, or is there a cutoff date?
I mean, it starts today and it's 4 weeks, but, okay. And I don't know if you're posting this podcast today, I'm assuming it's being posted later, but it's just the first one. And so it's kind of like a pilot.
Okay.
So I'm going to get through this first one over the next 4 weeks, and then I'm guessing that I'll change some things here and there. Mm-hmm. I'd like to be able to offer it remotely.
Sure.
And see if there's a way I can do that, because there were definitely people outside the Bay who are interested. And Joanna's work isn't something that I find I enjoy as much offering remotely. I've been asked to do kind of deeper studies, like over a webinar, which I'm open to. But I feel like the Singing Over the Bones work could be something that I could offer remotely. Again, I have a lot going on, and I try and work off of invitation because it shows me which way to go.
Yeah.
And so if I have people saying, I want to do Singing Over the Bones, then that gives me energy, you know, to make it happen.
Yeah.
The only thing is that I'm not sure if I can do it as like a weekend workshop, because I really feel we come together, we study cosmology, we study the elements of culture, and then you go home and you do some research.
Yeah.
And then you come back. And we kind of work like that. So I'm excited about it. I'm I was very uncomfortable in my body for like a week until I gave birth to this kind of new, new program. And so I'm just really excited about it. And yeah, it's the day where the veils are thinnest and the time where we're transitioning from the life of summer to the hibernation of winter. And so it just happened that the day at the venue that was the best to start it was Halloween.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for sharing. That sounds like a lovely opportunity. Yeah. And where, I'm also curious, I want to make sure to ask where, I noticed that you had something set up on Patreon. Is that correct? Is that the platform for people who might want to support the Music is Medicine project?
The best thing is the donation page for Music is Medicine. Patreon is more for my Lydia Violet artist project.
Okay.
Which, if you want to support that, you know, that's amazing. And of course, part of that, because I also run Music as Medicine, it supports that too. But yeah, there's a donation page on the Music as Medicine Project website, which is just musicasmedicineproject.org. And we're actually at a point where we really could use some funds. We've used, you know, I've raised $18,000 this year in scholarship funds, and we used most of it. And so we're kind of at this point where we need to refill. So yeah, any donations are really helpful right now, and it's all tax deductible. And then another thing that I have coming up that I'm releasing next week is a 16-video singing lesson series through Music as Medicine Project, where I basically take you through a lot of exercises of how to sing and learning how to sing. And some of the community songs that we do, and 100% of the proceeds from that goes towards supporting Music as Medicine Project. So that's another cool way that you can give. And then, you know, these are all videos that you can practice to and use to open up your voice.
And that is something that people can take advantage of remotely?
Yes.
Okay.
100%.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
That's why I made that. Yeah.
And Music is Medicine. Will you share the social media pages website before we transition?
Yeah, the website is musicasmedicineproject.org.
Okay.
And then on Facebook, we have a Music is Medicine Project page. And then you can also follow me, Lydia Violet Music, on Instagram and social media, because you know, I post a lot there too, and a lot of my travels with like Rising Appalachia and the different artists I play with, like Lila June and my own project. And I try and share the stories, because I know there's a lot of intense stories, and it's really helpful to hear some of the other stories of what's happening as well.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, I would love to, before we say goodbye, I'd love for you to share a song with us, if you are still open to doing that.
Yeah, I had a song in mind, but now I'm thinking, because it's Halloween, that I'd like to share a song from my ancestry.
Okay.
There's a Persian song that I've learned in the last year that's a lullaby that you sing to your lover, which is super amazing. But when I sing this song, I imagine that, you know, I'm kind of praying for everyone to be able to have a peaceful place to sleep. So, yeah.
Zavuna.
Thank you so much, Lydia.
Uh-huh.
It's been really wonderful to connect with you. Thank you. Thank you again, Lydia, for taking the time out to story share with me. I just want to remind listeners that if you are interested in learning more about Lydia Violet and her projects and workshops, you can head over to learn more about the Music as Medicine Project at musicasmedicineproject.org. And she also has her own website that you are welcome to check out called lydiafiddle.com. That's lydiafiddle.com. So thank you so much, Lydia, and I hope you all enjoyed this lovely little piece.